Good morning. Glad to worship with you today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many years ago when I was in seminary in homiletics class, which is a preaching class, the professor said something that at the time I thought was really profound. He said, a good preacher will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I remember scribbling that down dutifully in my notebook, and I thought, wow, that's it. That's the thing. And for many years, I tried to do just that. Well, not many years, a few years, till I learned something, both from ministry and just life in general. No one is comfortable. Everyone is afflicted in one way or another. No one is comfortable. Are you? You might live in a beautiful, comfortable house designed with an interior decorator, replete with luxuries and all the latest technological gadgets, and internally be as uncomfortable as you've ever been. You can drive an expensive car with a turbo engine, temperature-controlled seats, an amazing sound system. And it can even park itself. You can just do that and the car will park itself. And yet, you think about that old beat-up station wagon with the fake wood siding and the AM-only radio and manual air conditioning, which meant that you rolled the windows down. You think about that old car back in the day and you think, I was actually more comfortable in that car. You might go on an extravagant vacation to an exotic location. Stay at an exclusive resort, just full of amenities, abounding in amenities, has a spa, anything you want. And you can still have the most uncomfortable vacation of your life because you're afflicted with something. And more often than not, most people, whether they admit it or not, feel a lot more afflicted than they do comfortable. We project different things in social media. I mean, people project that, gosh, they're on top of things. Gosh, they're funny and creative and just doing great with their life. But often that's an illusion because often people are a lot less comfortable and a lot more afflicted than they would ever admit. It might be financial hardship or family dysfunction or anxiety or stress. It might be stresses with your job or your lack of a job. Now, if none of this applies to you, if you're completely comfortable, if you're not afflicted at all, and you're really on top of your game, well, you need to market that. You need to write a motivational book. You need to record some podcasts. You need to get on some talk shows and make some good money, which, of course, will make you more comfortable, right? Now, think about 2020 so far. The combination of the ever-spreading pandemic, the ever-increasing political polarization, the ever-increasing social unrest, the volatile economy, the palpable level of societal anger and anxiety have all combined to create one of the most uncomfortable, most discomforting years in a long time, leaving many people feeling afflicted and anything but comfortable. Afflicted people, perhaps even you, often try things to comfort themselves. It might be overeating, especially lots and lots of comfort food, which comforts you for a minute, but later, at least for me, leaves me feeling not so comfortable. It might be alcohol. It might be drugs or binge watching television show after television show. Or online shopping. Once I buy this thing, I'll just feel a little more comfortable. Or some other addictive behavior. Afflicted people need to be comforted. And if they don't find comfort in other people, they'll try to figure out a way to comfort themselves. This, of course, segues nicely into a Pink Floyd song. Now, I know many of you this morning before tuning in were hoping, man, I hope Dave quotes some Pink Floyd lyrics today. Well, it's your dream come true. That's your lucky day. on their song Comfortably Numb from their 1979 epic double album, The Wall. Pink Floyd sing about, as you would expect, trying to find comfort through drugs, trying to become comfortably numb. And after the first of two epic guitar solos by David Gilmour, Roger Waters sings this. Okay, just a little pinprick. There'll be no more, but you may feel a little sick. Can you stand up? I do believe it's working. Good. That'll keep you going through the show. Come on, it's time to go. And then David Gilmour sings, there is no pain. You are receding. A distant ship, smoke on the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying. When I was a child, I caught a fleeting glimpse out of the corner of my eye. I turned to look, but it was gone. I cannot put my finger on it now. The child has grown. The dream is gone. And I have become comfortably numb. And of course, that's followed by the second guitar solo by David Gilmour, which is one of the most famous guitar solos in rock history, but enough about guitar solos. The point is, it's not uncommon for afflicted people to try to become comfortably numb, to find some source of comfort themselves. Whatever it takes, people will pay a high price. People will take ridiculous risks to find that comfort. The problem, and you already know this, is that becoming comfortably numb never lasts. The numbness always wears off, and eventually you will find yourself hungering yet again for more comfort food, thirsting yet again for another shot of liquor, longing yet again for one more drug, searching yet again for another television series to binge watch and escape into. The numbness recedes, and the reality of your afflictions that have not gone anywhere and your need for comfort because of those afflictions becomes even more pronounced than before. And yet, that's where the good news of the gospel comes in. The good news of the gospel of God's unconditional love for all afflicted people, including you. You see, the gospel is always a word of comfort for the afflicted. The gospel is always a word of comfort for the afflicted. Today's Old Testament passage is from the great prophet Isaiah, whose ministry in Israel lasted over 50 years and was about seven centuries before Christ. And one of the recurring themes in the book of Isaiah is the theme of God, of the Lord comforting us, comforting God's people. And one of the best known passages in Isaiah along these lines, it's the first words of the first aria in Handel's Messiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. And that, those words, those verses of comfort from Isaiah in that first aria of Handel's Messiah set the tone for the entire masterpiece about the gospel of God's love in Jesus Christ, the gospel that is always a word of comfort for the afflicted. Later, Isaiah similarly prophesied about the ministry of the forthcoming Messiah, Jesus Christ, as being in part, quote, to comfort all who mourn, to comfort all who mourn. And again, later proclaimed from God's perspective, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And in today's passage, Isaiah also proclaimed a word of comfort for the afflicted. The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. The Lord will not only comfort you, but will also comfort all the waste places in your life, whatever those waste places may be, and you know what they are. And that is a beautiful, life-giving word of comfort from the Lord, comfort for the afflicted, including you. That is the gospel. And lest you think this idea of the Lord comforting the afflicted is only found in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus himself, in the greatest sermon ever preached, his Sermon on the Mount, proclaimed, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And at the Last Supper, knowing all the ways that his beloved disciples would be afflicted in their lives and ministry, Jesus promised that God the Father would send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. Jesus said, "My Father shall give you another Comforter," capital C, "who will abide with you forever, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you." And the very next day, the same Jesus who preached about comforting those who mourn, the same Jesus who throughout his earthly ministry comforted the afflicted, those in trouble, the sick, the blind, the lame, comforting and healing the afflicted again and again and again. The same Jesus who promised that our Heavenly Father would send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter, to comfort all of us. Jesus himself on Good Friday was afflicted beyond all our imagination, nailed to a cross with something much greater than just a little pinprick. The same Isaiah who had proclaimed, "The Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all our waste places," had also prophesied about Jesus, the Messiah, that he himself would be afflicted in our place. Why? Well, in order to bring comfort to an afflicted, uncomfortable, discomforting world, including you. In his very first English prayer book of 1549, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, one of my heroes, 1489 to 1556, that won't be on the quiz. Thomas Cranmer included what he called comfortable words that the priest was to proclaim to the congregation every single week after the confession and absolution to reassure the afflicted congregation of the comforting words of the gospel. And we actually included these comfortable words in the Rite One Eucharist in the Book of Common Prayer. So after the confession and after the absolution, the priest every week would remind people of the comforting words of the gospel. "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the perfect offering for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." Again, the gospel is always a word of comfort for the afflicted. In those comfortable words, we're reminded that the gospel is an invitation from our Lord himself to rest, an invitation to the weary to rest, the hope of everlasting life, the assurance that, yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to save sinners, afflicted sinners, just like you and me. That at this very moment, the same Jesus is your advocate who is on your side, whose death on Good Friday remains always and forever the perfect offering for our sins, not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, including yours. Moreover, Scripture assures us that even now, our Lord remains the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. You see, the gospel is always a word of comfort for the afflicted. Well, where in your life are you afflicted? How are you afflicted? What are the waste places in your life? The places that you need God to bring comfort and restoration. Well, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter, may the God of all comfort comfort both you personally and those exact waste places in your life. and replace your affliction with joy and gladness, all for the sake of our gracious Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.